In moments, Christy seemed to be standing on the same street, or one like it, before the new coast had erupted and changed it forever. The street was alive with movement and throbbed with an incessant noise like Christy had never heard before. Wags raced along the street in both directions, clustered more tightly than an anthill, and people flowed along the sidewalks in dresses and clothing Christy had seldom seen.
What is this place?
A ville called Seattle. In its day, it was one of the largest villes in the pre-dark times. It sank during the quakes that took the western coast.
How do you know about it?
One of the Chosen, an ancestor of mine, lived here at the time.
Christy reached out for one of the people walking past her, wrapping her hand around the wrist of a man in a sharply fitted dark blue suit. She was surprised to realize she'd touched flesh over hard bone. The man turned and gazed at her, cocking his head to one side.
Can I help you, miss?
No, thank you. I'm quite all right.
The man appeared uncertain for a moment, then moved on, rejoining the thronging flock that trudged along the sidewalk. She watched him go with mixed emotions.
How can you remember this?
Our memories go back generations. My biggest concern isn't how we remember, but how it is that you don't.
No one can remember like this.
We do.
How?
Someone has to keep records. Someone must learn the truth.
The truth of what?
Of how all this came to be.
It happened because of the nukes. Government stopped them before Skydark. More than enough to kill the world 100 times over.
But who set off the nukes?
Christy walked down the sidewalk, her eyes drawn to the shop windows, filled with dresses, electronics, books, and other merchandise. All of them seemed to glitter and appear ethereal.
If you talk to different people, you get different answers about that. And most people don't care at all anymore. It doesn't matter.
We are not seeking to place blame, but simply to know. The truth. That's what we need to hand down.
Christy remembered some of the stories the companions had heard from the Heimdall Foundation men, Burnson and Hoyle, while going back to Colorado to get Dean. Even after the nuke cost, the Foundation had dedicated itself to finding out what had truly happened to the world.
What good's the knowing?
The truth shall set you free.
I'm not free. I've got a ghost wandering around in my head, forcing me to see things I'd rather not see, do things I'd rather not do.
All will be explained when we return to my people.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, it will happen. Or I'll get strong enough eventually to stop your heart. Then, together, we'll watch your man as you die.
You'll die too.
If I don't get back to my people, I'm dead anyway.
Silently, Christy hoped that Donovan's knowledge would be enough to free her from her predicament.
Donovan is only a man, and men know precious little as it is. Even before they start deluding themselves about their own grandeur.
Christy heard a small tremor of uncertainty in the old woman's voice. It wasn't much, but it was enough to give her hope. Evidently, Florin sensed the emotion because the world changed around Christy again, warping into a narrow corridor that led through a large house that reminded her of the Cornelius family's home in Louisiana. Dim light trickled into the corridor, and she thought she heard sibilant voices in the distance. A cold chill prickled her skin, running across her shoulders and making her spine feel brittle.
You don't like it here, do you?
No.
Christy froze in place, trying to ignore the slither of wet flesh cascading through the corridor behind her.
This isn't real. None of it is real.
You remember this place, don't you? You almost lost your man here.
Although she didn't want to, Christy ran. It was survival. She didn't have a weapon in hand, and from the sound of the thing's progress behind her, it was huge. Thin gray light peeped out from a set of double doors ahead of her. She aimed for them. She couldn't remember if the doors or the room beyond them actually existed in the Cornelius house, but it fit with her memory of it now easily.
There's no hope. No hope at all. I'll be in your dreams, and I'll rob you of sleep. You will give in to me. It's only a matter of time.
Christy burst through the double doors with a silent prayer to Gaia. She was in a darkened room. The back wall was taken up by the silver screen the companions had watched vids on. Before it were rows of folding chairs, all orderly and neat. The Cornelius family sat in the chairs, their heads swiveling to focus on Christy as she skidded to a stop in the center of the room. All of them were there. Elric, Thomas, Mary, Norman, and Melmoth. Pale-haired and fiery-eyed, like Jack, but much, much worse. And Christy had no doubts they were dead. The companions had killed them all, ending the Cornelius family line. At least, as far as they knew. Elric rose to his 6'3" stature. Wasp-thin, he looked even paler in death.
Welcome.
Christy backed away from him.
This is a dream, not real, not real at all.
But she also knew she couldn't take that chance. With Florin inside her head, it could be so much more. She turned and looked back toward the double doors that had led into the vid room. A huge crocodile lounged in the doorway, something she'd never seen in the Cornelius home. It was easily 20 feet long, its mouth a row of gaping white fangs. The beady black eyes carried a cold reptilian intelligence. Christy wouldn't have been surprised if it had spoken. The other members of the Cornelius family spread out, coming for Christy. They moved slowly, rocking back and forth like windblown saplings. They reached for her, their fingers distending into vicious claws. Elric opened his mouth, exposing long canines. Christy turned, searching for a weapon, but finding none. In desperation, she seized one of the folding chairs and threw it at Elric. He brushed the piece of furniture aside casually, as though it were only a moment's inconvenience. The chair shattered into 100 pieces, proof of the incredible strength that was housed in his rail-thin body.
No! You're creating this out of my mind, Florin, out of my memories and out of my fears. Nothing more.
Are you so certain, child?
Yes! This is not a nightmare. This is not a premonition. This is nothing.
Elric towered before her, his hand slashing out, filled with sharp claws. Instinctively, Christy lifted her arm to defend herself.
Ah!
Elric's nails sliced through her arm. Christy didn't look, using the burning pain as her focus. She didn't move at all. Elric's hand slashed through her without touching her. Angry, Elric stepped back, his lips twisted in a rictus. Christy closed her eyes, regulating her breathing, reaching inside herself to slow down her racing heart. Then, she stepped out of the dream into wakefulness. Christy sat up in the cool, clean darkness of the night. She pulled off the covers and found out she'd started to get drenched with sweat underneath.
Next time, it will get harder and harder to resist me.
Ignoring the old woman's threat, Christy pushed up from the ground, drawing Ryan's attention at once. She couldn't see him where he sat outside the perimeter of the campfires, but she knew he was there on watch. She sensed his attention on her at once, and his concern. JB had been scheduled for watch first, so she knew she'd gotten some sleep. Glancing around, she saw the companions and the others scattered across the ground, wrapped up in the blankets brought from the boat. No one stirred. Gathering her own blanket, she crept through the campsite toward Brian. Her movement didn't go completely undetected. With the enhanced perception that came as a result of the dream, she sensed that Jack, JB, and Dean woke briefly and recognized her. With relief, she found Ryan leaning against a tree just in back of the campsite. He had the Stire cradled in his arms. Christy stretched out and wrapped her arms around him. She pulled him close, trying to get as much of her flesh in contact with his as she could.
You should be sleeping.
Couldn't, lover. Sleeping tonight might be the death of me.
The old woman?
Yes.
Won't be much longer.
One way or the other.
What?
Nothing.
Christy slipped a hand inside his shirt, brushing her palm against the hard planes of his flat stomach and broad chest, drawing in his warmth. She'd always loved the feel of him, the unyielding presence he exuded.
We'll be moving early in the morning. Sooner we shake the dust off from this place, the better off we'll be. Not gonna leave much time for sleeping.
I'll sleep on the boat if I'm able. Maybe sleeping in the light will be easier.
Christy put her head against Ryan's chest, listening to his heartbeat, slow and rhythmic. His free hand came up behind her, threading his fingers through her sentient hair. Her hair coiled around his fingers in return, pulling him tight. Then she realized that his hand hadn't been placed there out of any tenderness. she sensed the withdrawal in her lover, a cold spot just beyond her reach. It hurt her, feeling it, and knowing it was there.
He doesn't trust you.
Ryan doesn't trust you. You should know. He chilled you once.
You, me. It's the same difference now, Christy.
It's not going to stay that way.
You can't be sure of that. How do you know I won't take over your arm at some point, have you pull out your blaster and blow a hole in this man?
Because Ryan won't let you. He doesn't trust you. That's why his fingers are tangled in my hair.
And he'd chill you before he'd let himself be chilled?
Yes. Ryan's a survivor. He won't even let me take his life without a fight, and he won't be diminished. He's a warrior, and I love him for it.
You can't kill him. No one can.
You're so sure.
You cold?
Just a chill, lover. Somebody walking over my grave, like Doc would say.
Wrap up in your blanket.
Rather wrap up in you.
I'm on watch.
I promise not to be too distracting.
Christy's fingers unbuttoned the front of his trousers, feeling Florin retreat in the back of her mind. She had Ryan's manhood in her hand, feeling the way it stiffened at her touch.
Come on, Florin. Why don't you stay and play?
Ugh, you're an abomination!
Christy didn't argue, but took Ryan into her mouth instead, bathing his hot flesh in the heated caress of her kiss. Ryan kept his hand twisted in her hair, but he quickly gave himself over to her touch. For the first time in hours, Christy felt truly at peace.